Welcome to Sunday School. We are having a course this year on hard questions in Sunday School. I just try to address these questions as they are written. And this question is number 38 that we've studied this year. It's 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. The question is this: what does 1 Peter 3:21 mean? Are we saved by baptism? What does 1 Peter 3, verse 21 mean? Are we saved by baptism? That's the question this morning, and the verse that someone is having difficulty understanding is 1 Peter 3, verse 21. It says this: the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to have to, in this Sunday school lesson, reiterate a little bit of a sermon that I preached back on July 23rd, which just over a month ago. I preached a sermon on a Sunday morning called Believe, Be Baptized, Belong. Some of you remember that sermon. That's where I was dunking the little baby in the water. And I had a little dowel and a little big bin of water, and I was pushing this little dowel underneath the water and trying to illustrate what baptism is. So hopefully some of that will come back to your minds, those of you that were here. And we're going to have to reiterate some of that truth, but that's all right. It's just a question that came up. Doesn't matter to me. And review is good, and sometimes we don't remember what we learned a month ago. And so maybe this will help bring some things to memory. This question was brought up because of a booklet that was given to one of our fair workers at the Dunkirk Fair by a very devout Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholic had come to our fair booth and heard what we had to say, and she went home and got this booklet and brought this booklet back to one of our workers with the intent, of course, of straightening him out about how the Roman Catholic Church is the true church, and they have a corner on the market and so on. And I'm not trying to attack Roman Catholicism. I'm just saying that if you put something in print, then everybody on earth has a right to challenge what you said. And that's the same thing about anything that I write. If you put something in print and distribute it, anybody has a right to criticize what I write. And I know that. That's part of the price of writing. And I write a lot of stuff. And if the Roman Catholic institution is going to put this out, then they can expect people to have a right to question what is said. And so I'm not attacking Roman Catholicism. I'm just saying if that's what you're going to pass out, and same thing with anything I write, every booklet I've ever written, every tract, I have no right to believe that it ought to be just accepted as gospel without people questioning. And so I want to read to you what it says about baptism and what this lady was trying to say. And the question comes up, and there's other verses, but one of the verses referenced to here in their booklet called Pillar of Fire, Pillar of Truth. That's the name of the booklet by the Roman Catholic Church. At the bottom it says, The Catholic Church and God's Plan for You. And on the back it says, The Catholic Church, Your Guide to Truth. This is what they say about baptism. Page 14, because of original sin, we are born without grace in our souls. So there is no way for us to have fellowship with God. Jesus became man to bring us into union with his Father. He said, no one can enter into the kingdom of God unless he is first born of water and the Spirit. John 3 and verse 5. This refers to baptism. It doesn't. The water refers to the physical birth. The Spirit refers to the spiritual birth, if you'll read the next verse. Jesus goes on to say, that which is born of flesh, the water is flesh. Even sometimes when mothers have their babies, we'll say, her water just broke. We know it's time to have the baby. And so the Bible interprets itself in the next verse. They take the verse out of context. And they say you must be born of water and of the Spirit. You must be born of baptism and of the Spirit is what they're saying here. Through baptism, we are born again. But this time on a spiritual level instead of a physical level. We are washed in the bath of rebirth. Titus 3:5 is put in parentheses, which does not have anything to do with it. We are baptized into Christ's death and therefore share in his resurrection. They put down Romans 6, verses 3 through 7, which is talking about Holy Spirit baptism. There's 9 different baptisms in the Bible. Only one saves. And it's not water baptism. We are saved by baptism, but not water baptism. And I'll tell you by the end of the lesson what baptism we're saved by. And it's the one Jesus performs on us, not the one some pastor performs on us. Baptism cleanses us of sins and brings the Holy Spirit and his grace into our souls. And they quote here Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, which we'll look at in a few minutes. And then it ends with this. And the Apostle Peter is perhaps the most blunt of all, quote, baptism now saves you, end quote, 1 Peter 3:21. That's the verse we're just reading. If you just came in, turn to 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Our question today is, what does 1 Peter 3:21 mean? Are we saved by baptism? And then it says, the last sentence, baptism is the gateway into the church. And so I'm reading word for word, verbatim, out of a book by the Roman Catholic Institution called Pillar of Fire, Pillar of Truth, the Catholic Church, your guide to truth. Now again, for those just coming in, I say if you print something, then you have a right. Other than you have no right to expect that people cannot constructively criticize what you write. I am a writer. And I expect the same of everything I write, that people should put it under the microscope of God's Word, the truth, and not believe what I say, but believe what the Bible says. So I'm not trying to attack the Roman Catholic Institution, just reading what they say. So, are they properly interpreting 1 Peter 3:21 in this book when they say baptism now saves you? Let me read that again. Baptism now saves you, quote, end quote, page 15 from their book. No, notice the word figure. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. The word figure means, number one, a thing formed after some pattern. Number two, a thing resembling another, its counterpart. A figure of something is not the actual something. Okay? If I drew a figure of a man preaching or something, that would not be the man preaching. That would be a thing formed after some pattern. A thing resembling another, its counterpart. The word figure here comes from a Greek word antitupos, which is equivalent to the English word anti-type. The word anti means in the place of. Type means a picture of something. It means something in the place of or a picture of something. Baptism is a picture of something. Baptism is a type of something. What 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 is saying is this. The figure of baptism saves us. It's not saying baptism saves us. The like figure whereunto even baptism. What does that mean? It means the word figure means what baptism represents saves us. Not baptism, but what it represents saves us. This verse says, what baptism shows is what saves us. And so they leave out the word figure when they quote it in their book of doctrine here, saying that baptism is what washes away original sin and what births us into the family of God. And so the key is the word figure. So maybe write in your Bible, somewhere, so you see it next time you write. I don't know about you, but I believe in writing in my Bible. And I got notes all over my Bible because it helps me, because a year from now I'll not remember this. And so next to the word figure, circle the word figure, and in the column of your Bible, write down a thing formed after some pattern, or a thing resembling another. In other words, baptism resembles salvation, but baptism is not salvation. As I try to explain often, and you can use Romans 6 like they did in their book, baptism shows the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, defines to us the gospel. And he says, the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures. And it says, if we believe in that gospel, unless we believe in vain or with an empty faith, it says, we are saved. We're saved by believing the gospel. Baptism is a figure of the gospel. It is not the gospel. Now, let's look at some things about baptism and some things today that maybe you haven't thought about. But baptisms in Bible times, and here's where some people get confused, not only the Catholics, but also the Church of Christ and some other denominations out there. Baptisms were often used like we use altar calls today. There were actually people who would go to a baptism confessing their sins. Or it would be at baptism that they would call on the Lord to save them. Just like we may have an altar call, where maybe at the altar call, somebody might come forward at the altar call confessing Christ as their Savior. Now, it's not the altar call that saves them. It's the confessing Christ as their Savior that calls them, saves them. And many times, baptism was a time for people to come to God, like an altar call, confessing their sins. But before I get into the Scriptures and turn to Matthew 3, verse 6, we'll start there. You know, we need to use a lot of little common sense when we approach the Scriptures and approach spirituality. What about, for instance, the person in the country of Turkey? And there's not one Catholic church in the country of Turkey. In fact, as far as we know, there's not one Baptist church. Can people still be saved in that country if they do not partake of the ordinance of baptism? Not according to this. They have no hope, according to this book of Catholic dogma. Would you agree with that? But can people in Turkey believe? Can they believe without Roman Catholicism? Can they believe without the Baptist Church? Can they believe without any other type of church? Yes, they can. Isn't God good? What about somebody that lives in Alaska? It's 30 degrees below zero, 6 months out of the year. And there's no church for hundreds and hundreds of miles. There's no traveling, but they want to be saved. There's no Catholic church, no Baptist church, no church whatsoever to perform the ordinance of baptism. Can they be saved? Yes, they can. Can they be saved according to this? No, they can't. Baptism doesn't save. I remember talking to a man from the Church of Christ, which I believe is a cult. It teaches baptismal regeneration, which is basically what the Catholic Church is teaching. You're born again by baptism. John 3:5, they quote. And I went to his house and talked to him about baptismal regeneration. He's with the Church of Christ. There's not many around here, but they're really big to the south. And I said, do you mean to tell me that if there's somebody on their deathbed in the hospital and they want to repent and they want to get right with God and they want to accept Jesus as their Savior and they want to be saved and go to heaven, do you mean to tell me that if that person never becomes physically able to leave the hospital and come to the Church of Christ, which has a corner on baptism according to them, They're the only ones that can do it. You mean to tell me that person has no chance of being saved? He said, yes, that's what I mean to tell you. That person is going to go to hell. They should have thought about it when they were healthy.
Wow.
That's what he told me. He said, they should have thought about it when they're healthy. What about someone who's not healthy? What about somebody who can never get to a church of Christ? What about countries all over the world that don't have churches of Christ? Can they be saved? Not according to the Church of Christ, they can. Not according to Roman Catholicism. But you know, one of the reasons I like being a Baptist is because we hold to Bible doctrine. We believe anybody anywhere can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And that we're not saved by baptism. Now, baptism was the counsel of God. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 30, it says, the lawyers rejected the counsel of God, not being baptized of John. Baptism started with John the Baptist. He didn't just wake up one day and say, wow, I just came up with a great idea. I think I'll start dunking people in water for some reason. No, it says they rejected the counsel of God, not being baptized of John. God was the one who counseled baptism and said to John, I want you to start baptizing people. And John was the forerunner of Christ. He was the one who was trying to pave the way so that people would receive the Christ who followed him. And baptism was introduced through John the Baptist. Now, question, did John's baptism save people's souls? No. How do we know that? The Bible tells us. For example, in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, you read a story about 12 men. The Apostle Paul was preaching. One day, long after Christ died, was buried, resurrected, went back to heaven, and they were on their missions trips, and he came across 12 men who were John's disciples. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we've never even heard if there was a Holy Ghost. He said, under what then were you baptized? He said, under John's baptism. The 12 men. And Paul straightened them out, preached Jesus to them, and then rebaptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. John's baptism never saved. But it was like having an altar call. Look at Matthew 3 and verse 6. It says, and were baptized of him in Jordan, notice this, confessing their sins. Confessing their sins. It was like an altar call. It was a type, an anti-type, as we read, where the Lord was trying to get them to look forward to something. What was he trying to get them to look forward to? Prepare them for the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, and there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they were of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. So baptism was like having an altar call. They didn't have churches back then. There were some synagogues around them. But they went out to John the Baptist at the River of Jordan. No baptistries had been built. And they actually went into the water confessing their sins, and they were baptized of him. Did it save them? No. Turn to Acts 22 and verse 16. This practice continued. It continued after Calvary. But notice the wording here in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, because the Catholics quoted it here, and they used this verse right here to justify what they were doing. In Acts 22 and verse 16, it says this, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. But notice this. Calling on the name of the Lord. That's left out. That's left out. Part of the verse is quoted. That's left out. How were their sins washed away? By being baptized or by calling on the name of the Lord? Calling on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So baptisms were often used like as an altar call. In fact, in Bible times, in almost every case, they were saved and baptized at the same moment, same day. They didn't wait for a few weeks or a few months or a few years to think about it. They were saved, they called on the Lord, and they were baptized. And I think there were actually illustrations in the Bible where the people would go into the water, just like maybe we might take somebody back into a counseling room to receive Christ. Back then, they actually went into the water and called on the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. That's how close salvation and baptism was in some Bible stories. But it was the calling on the Lord. And so we've got to quote the whole verse, and we've got to keep the verse in context and not take part where it says, be baptized and wash away thy sins in verse 16. I could lift that out and start a false doctrine too. But it's the calling on the Lord that saves us. Go back to Acts chapter 2. And by the way, if you remember my sermon from July 23rd, where I illustrated with the water bucket and a little baby doll and so on and so forth, I don't believe the Catholic Church and many Protestant churches practice biblical baptism at all. Because often they hold a little baby in their hand who's never been a believer, and they'll take some water and sprinkle it on the baby's head, or some will actually pour a little bit of water on the baby's head, and they'll say that baby has now been baptized into the family of God, and original sin has been washed away by baptism. But the word baptized, by way of review, comes from a Greek word baptizo, which means to dip, to submerge, to immerse. And I illustrated that with a little doll, and I said, now no adult in their right mind would take a little baby and do this to a little baby and take the thing and completely put it underwater. I mean, I would hope any father or mother had any sense would stop somebody from doing that. There are no examples in the Bible of babies being baptized, only believers. Now, as for pouring or sprinkling, that is not baptism. The word sprinkle comes from a Greek word rantizo, which is not baptizo. The word pour, P-O-U-R, comes from ecuno, E-C-K-U-N-O. I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right. And the word pour is only found three times in the New Testament. Twice it says, I will pour out my spirit. And once it talks about pouring out the vials of God's wrath in the book of Revelation. Never is pouring or sprinkling used as an illustration, but the Lord does tell us clearly in the Bible about the depth of the water. It says they went down both into the water. It talks about John the Baptist baptizing in Enon near Jordan because there was much water there. And it says Jesus went down into the water, and during his baptism it says he came up straightway out of the water. And all that's in the Bible. All that's in the Bible because God wants us to know that the mode of baptism is important because of what it illustrates. It illustrates salvation. It is not salvation. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now save us. That's the text that is in question in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Look at Acts 2 and verse 38. He's preaching, and what does he preach? He says this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now notice what they did first. You got to read on. What did they do first? Verse 41. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. They received his word, then they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Go to chapter 8 and verse 12. Acts 8 verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. They were immersed, both men and women. Notice adults. And notice what they had to do before they were baptized. They believed Philip preaching the things of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They believed, and then both men and women, they were baptized. Later, and this is a great, great text in Acts 8, verse 36, which, by the way, is perverted in almost every single other version of the Bible, except the King James Bible. You'll be hard-pressed to find another Bible that includes verse 37. All the Bibles nowadays that they're writing go to verse 36, from verse 36 to 38, and they skip 37 and delete it, many without even an explanation. But I think 37 is important. Acts 8, 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why can't I be baptized? Here's some water right here. Here's a deep enough place for me to be immersed." And Philip said, now this is important, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he immersed him, or baptized him. So notice what must precede baptism in verse 38. In answer to this eunuch's question, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Not some shallow head confession, but if you believe on Jesus Christ with all your heart, you may be baptized. And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, and he baptized them there. And so again, we see the close proximity of salvation and baptism, but we see it differentiated from. Differentiated from. Now, I want to ask you a question today. Were you dipped as a baby? Because a lot of people say, you know, "Well, I was baptized as a baby." We need to challenge that whenever they say that. We need to challenge that with knowledge. You should respond whenever you meet someone like that and say, "Were you dipped underwater when you were a baby?" "Well, no, I had some water poured on me or sprinkled on me." "Then you were never baptized." We got to make it clear. You got to take a stand. You got to take a stand. There's some things we have to do in love, in a right spirit. Be careful when you say it. Be gentle. But folks, we've got to shake up the foundation of some people's souls. Because there are people who are trusting in that. If you ask them, "What are you trusting in to take you to heaven?" "Well, I was baptized as a baby." Then kindly say to them these words: "No, you weren't." Get used to saying that. "No, you weren't." That's probably how they're going to react. "No, you weren't." And then just say, "Let me just kindly explain to you what baptism is. The word baptism means to dip. Did they take you as a baby, and did they completely dip you underwater and bring you up?" "Well, no, then you were never baptized." So if that person is trusting in baptism to save them, take away that foundation from underneath them. I'm not saying be unkind or cruel to them, but we've got to start challenging people, because the Bible says the redemption of our soul is precious. And we've got to start challenging people. Tell them, "No, you weren't." And by the way, don't go to christenings. If your little niece or your little nephew is being christened or quote-unquote baptized at the church, don't go. Take a stand. Say, "No, I'm sorry, I don't believe in that. I love your baby. I'll be praying for your child to know Christ as their Savior as they grow up, but I don't believe in that." Don't go to First Communions. Take a stand. We've got to get some backbone. We're talking about people spending eternity in either hell or in heaven. And we've got to start getting some backbones, and we've got to stop going to these christenings and these First Communions and putting our stamp of approval by our attendance on something that's going to damn them. We've got to get some backbone for the truth. A person can't be saved until they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they say, "Well, I was baptized as a baby," again, kindly say, "No, you weren't." And then explain, pouring and sprinkling is not baptism. Now, they might argue with you till you're blue in the face, but sometimes those things take root in a person. And weeks later, months later, years later, they start to say, you know, maybe I'm not saved. That's good. We've got to get people lost if they're ever going to get saved. Got to. Now, the Apostle Paul, I believe, the Bible, I'm running out of time here, the Bible is a progressive revelation. Let me show you the last word on baptism. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Bible is a progressive revelation. What I mean by that is you can't take the first verse in the Bible about a doctrine and stop there and say, that's it. You've got to take that and progressively through the Bible and find out, a lot of times it will help you. This helps me so much in hermeneutics, the interpretation of Scripture. No matter what the doctrine, find out what is the last word in the Bible about that doctrine. Now here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's begin at verse 13. It says this, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now I want you to notice this next statement in verse 13. I thank God that I baptized none of you. Can you imagine making a statement like that if baptism saves? Now, Catholics teach baptism saves. Many Protestants teach baptism saves. Church of Christ teaches baptism saves. Baptists don't. We teach you must be born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, can you imagine the Apostle Paul? He has the last word on this doctrine of baptism. And the first thing he says here is, I thank God I never baptized any of you. Imagine saying that if baptism saves. Now, he did baptize, because let's read on. But Crispus and Gaius, there's two guys there at Corinth, he baptized, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Now, here it is. And in the column of your Bible, write down this word, if you want to, the last word on baptism, the doctrine. Now, baptism is mentioned a couple times later in the Bible, but not doctrinally. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. When I talked to that Church of Christ man, I showed him this verse in the Bible. He went speechless. Like he had never seen it in his life. They never taught him this verse 17 in this church. This verse 17, if I'm properly interpreting it by the Apostle Paul, forever differentiates baptism from the gospel. It forever separates the two. Paul said, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What's Paul saying? The preaching of the gospel is the main business of the church and the people of God. Now, should we baptize? Yes. We know that from the other scriptures. But the preaching of the gospel is so far more important. Those people at the fair, how many of them do you think will get baptized scripturally? I don't know. Maybe a handful. But if they really believe, will they go to heaven? Yes, they will. There's only one baptism that saves. There's 9 baptisms in the Bible. I got a booklet around here somewhere. I think it's out of print right now. It's called The 9 Baptisms. But when the Apostle Paul spoke in Ephesians, he said there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one baptism that saves the soul, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that is performed by Jesus Christ on a person the instant they believe on Jesus Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. And it was prophesied by John the Baptist. In all four of the testimonies, Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, John 1:33, in all four of the testimonies, all four of the Gospels, it was prophesied by John the Baptist, where he said these words, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me is mightier than me. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." See, that's the baptism that saves, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I have no idea how this happens. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit baptizes me into the body of Christ, and I forever become a member of Christ's body. At Holy Spirit baptism. In fact, the Bible says if you don't have the Spirit of God, Romans 8:9, you're none of His. You're none of His. You do not belong to Christ, Romans 8, verse 9. But now every single believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit and baptized into the body of Christ by Jesus Christ, not by some clergyman, not by some priest, not by some missionary or evangelist. But there's one baptism, and you study it out. Our time is up. You study it out. There's only one baptism that Jesus performs, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's an unseen thing, but it happens the instant somebody calls on Jesus Christ and says, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I believe on you. Save me." And that person's baptized into Christ's body by the Holy Spirit and forever becomes a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that baptism saves, sure. Not water baptism. Holy Spirit baptism at salvation, what we believe. I'll try to find that booklet on the nine baptisms. It's out of print right now. We'll try to get it out, but there's like the baptism. If you're wondering, there's the baptism of Moses. There's the baptism of fire. There's the baptism of John. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's water baptism. There's the baptism of suffering. Jesus said, Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? And the disciples said, yes. And Jesus said, yeah, you'll be baptized with suffering. There's nine of them, but anyways, only one. Only one saves, and that's Holy Spirit baptism. And that's not performed by any human. That's performed by Jesus Christ on you when you accept Christ as your Savior. So 1 Corinthians 3:21 is the question, and the key is the word figure. The word figure there. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now save us. The figure, what baptism represents, saves us, not baptism itself. All right, I don't know if that answered that question that well, but hopefully it got you thinking maybe in the right direction. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Help us with these difficult verses. And Lord, many misinterpret them and form false doctrines. Lord, many of us came out of that simply by the grace of God, not by any superior intelligence of ours. So help us to be very humble and not look down on these people. But Lord, give us the backbone and the doctrine, the truth, the scriptures to confront people, to shake up their souls, to shake up their foundations. That if they're trusting in baby baptism, they're not saved. And Lord, give us the grace, the love, the gentleness, the compassion, the gracious words to explain to them kindly that they've never been baptized. And they need to be saved. Oh God, help us just not to go to their grave with sound doctrine, but to use it to the saving of souls. Lord, bless now by thy Holy Spirit the service to follow this morning and this evening's service also. In Jesus' name, amen.